I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
My name's Jim.
How you doing? I'm Thunder.
Thunder?
Yeah.
I won't forget a guy named Thunder.
Right.
You liked our van, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. That's why I had to come shake you guys' hand. It's a nice one now.
I'm a traveling street preacher. The gospel good news, how to find eternal life. That's what I do. There's a narrow path to life. Most people are not teaching it biblically.
I know.
Most people are living life, waiting to die, taking in all the pleasure and excitement they can, not knowing what's to come, not caring, not seeking the kingdom of God. So we teach people to seek after the kingdom of God in this life. This life is short.
You know what's crazy? I just had this whole big thing on Facebook, and it was fun. That's what caught my attention, because I hate religion. I like relationship. I don't do religion.
Yeah. Man's twisted Christianity. And the gospel is very clear that Christ shed his blood for you. He made a way for you because you're sinful. I'm sinful. We're fallen human beings. We have sin within us. We can choose sin. We can also choose to repent of it. So the Bible tells us we have to turn from our sin. He shed his blood and made a way for you. He'll cover you. But you have to be willing to repent, to come out of the world, leave your own ways. And you know what will happen? It's an amazing thing. You get a new heart and a new mind. God gives you a new creation inside you. And you become born again by His Spirit, and then we teach people how to follow after Christ.
Right. And not only just, you know, a lot of people, what they have a problem with, what I notice out here, is that when I ask people, I say, you know, are you perfect? You know, the first thing they'll say is no, nobody's perfect. And I'm like, there it is. There's the first lie that the devil said. Because if you read the scriptures, I was like, there's a part of there. Jesus says, once you have been made new, that part of you is perfect for all time.
Well, he says, strive to be perfect. Yeah, I mean, we can choose sin. We can fall into sin. But the beauty is we can keep repenting.
So let me ask you, is it in your inventory?
In my inventory.
Is it in your inventory to not sin?
By the power of God, His Word, and His Spirit, I can walk and strive to live a sinless life.
No, it doesn't say that in the Bible.
Yeah, it does. Here's the problem. You can't.
Well, he says, yeah, be perfect.
Strive, be
like
perfect. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect. Here's the problem. We're in an imperfect body striving with a perfect spirit. So we're lugging the sinful body around, and it is going to drag us down
at
times.
That's what you're talking
about. That's what I'm talking
about,
the flesh.
And there's a spirit.
Yes.
So what I explain to people is that spirit. When God puts that spirit in you, it is perfect for all time.
Oh, the spirit is perfect.
For all time. The flesh is imperfect.
That's different, though. So the spirit of God is perfect.
People cannot wrap that around themselves. So I always ask them that, is it in your inventory? And the reason why I ask them that is because, look, Jesus would never give us nothing. He came as a man, right? There's a reason why he came as a man. He came as a man because he wanted to prove to people, there's nothing that I can do that you can't do. He came as a man, right? There was a man that walked down the water. There was a man, Jesus, that walked on the water. So people are like, well, that's Jesus. Well, no, don't forget.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd agree with that.
Peter walked on the water.
By faith, Christ gave him the ability. But I would disagree with that.
Why would God give that to just Peter and not the rest of us?
But wait, I disagree with that. Jesus didn't come to show us that we can live like a man and be perfect like him. He actually came to be the sacrifice and be the Lamb of God.
Right.
That's what he came for.
So that part of you, the work that he's already done, so all these
works that
you're talking about.
But wait, but that theology of yours falls apart, I got to tell you, because he was the only one who could do it. He was the perfect one.
No, Peter did it.
No, be perfect, never sin. So he showed us that we never have to sin. He showed us that we are fallen beings that have a proclivity to sin. Mm-hmm. We can strive in holiness, but only he, being fully God, could live a perfect life.
He wouldn't ask you to do something that was not in your inventory. That's mocking.
He would.
That's almost borderline cruel.
No.
To say, I want you to do this, but I haven't put it in your inventory to do it. Yeah. That's mocking.
Here's what'll help you if you actually study.
Hold on.
Do you know what the Greek word "perfect" actually means? It's a really bad translation. Very good. It means mature.
Right.
So what it means is we're not going to be perfect in the sense. Ever since I became a Christian, I never sinned. We're going to be mature. Matthew 5:48.
Right,
we're going to be mature so that we know how to avoid sin. When we do get close to it, we'll flee from it. If we do choose it and fall into it, which all people will, then we repent and turn from it. Right. So that word perfect right. is bad in English. It really means mature, mm-hmm. but we strive for perfection for the Lord. Right. Who wouldn't? He died for
right.
us.
Nobody in the Bible made it out of that thing being perfect. Even right. Moses, he finally, at right. 80 years old, you want to finally start getting yourself together?
But what he asks you to do is he asks you to come out of the world and all the cultural ways. He comes asks you to come out of the fallen man-made religion, like you talked about, mm-hmm. Sunday church. He asks right. you to come out of the cultural norms, how the culture tells you to dress, act, talk, spend your money, spend your time. And he says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness.
Right, that was the very first mission statement.
And everything else will be added unto you. Most people in the world, even those that claim faith in Christ, are seeking themselves, the culture, what they like, what they want, what pleases them. They're not seeking the kingdom of God, which is revealed in the Word of God through Christ, right. the Word made flesh.
But so the reason why that's such a big problem is because most people, even in the church I see, most people don't know how to rightly divide the Word. So the church tries to trap.
What do you need for that?
Okay, this is what I mean.
What do you need for that, to rightly divide the Word? What do you need to do that?
You got to have the knowledge of the Word. You have to be able to, he says, to study the Scriptures and show thyself right. approved, and then it will establish you.
Yeah, here's where it's really key.
So it's a form of discernment.
Yeah,
actually.
I started preaching the gospel. Christ came, shed his blood, defeated death for us. By repentance, we turn, we follow after him, and this is the key. Then the Bible says God will give you a new heart and a new mind. You need the Spirit of God
to
understand the Word. So those people you're talking about, the people in the Sunday churches, do you know why they can't understand the Word of God in most cases? Two main reasons. They don't want to serve and seek after the true Christ.
There's an agenda.
And they don't have the Spirit of God. They're not born again. If you're born again, in John 14, John 16, Jesus said, the Spirit will teach you all things.
Right, that's what I tell people, because some people are like, well, the Apostle Paul says, lawful for me to do all things. I said, being a Christian does not give you a license to sin.
No.
It gives you a license to not
right.
sin.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, Paul didn't mean he could sin all he wanted.
Right.
Paul
sin,
meant, I can eat pork if I want.
Right.
I could go to the temple on Saturday if I wanted.
Right.
I could wear tassels, which was all Old Testament law if I wanted.
Right.
But I don't need to do all those things because
right.
he's set free now.
Now, I think that, like what we're talking about, is a lot of what I see in churches is that a lot of the preachers will take Old Testament and try to bring it into New Testament
yes.
under covenant of grace people, but hold them to the law of Moses
yeah.
in the first five
yeah, you
books.
Can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, that's Torah law.
If I was me, I'm not even Jewish. I always tell people, I could refute that and say, if you look at that, the Bible says that it was for Moses and his people.
Right.
I'm not Jewish. I thought
yeah.
that wasn't even for me. So I don't have to even follow the commandments because it wasn't given to me.
Well,
as a Gentile, it was given to them.
Let's make the distinction.
Part of the Bible is the new covenant. I'm under, see, they
yeah.
try to not make it about
yeah,
race.
We're under new covenant, but hold on. That's true and it's not true. Let me explain. You have the Ten Commandments.
Well, you need one to validate
yeah.
the other.
Hold on.
Because
you have Ten Commandments. So you have Torah law.
Not be holy? Well, God forbid.
Yeah. You have Torah law, which was 613 special, specific laws to Israel. But then we have the Ten Commandments, which are the moral law. We're still under the Ten Commandments.
No, I'm not.
We are under the Ten
I'm
Commandments.
Under two commandments.
But which encompasses the Ten
the
Commandments.
Ten,
love God
and
love your neighbor. But it still
yourself.
Is the Ten. Don't,
and
don't
hang all them prophets. I will
yeah.
hang all them prophets.
Don't do adultery.
So I'm not.
Don't have other gods.
Right.
Don't lie.
Why would you have another God? And
don't murder. That's all under the
right.
first two.
Basically, he's saying, if you follow these two, they will not contradict.
Right.
Not only the Ten, but the 613.
Well, actually, it's not true because the 613.
Oh, yeah, they do have some man-made.
You can't. Well, no. You can't even do the 613 anymore.
No.
There's no temple. There's no Levitical
right.
priesthood. We don't kill sheep anymore.
Right.
So
that's
we have to
said,
we put those away.
See, I was just telling a guy on Facebook that last night. I said otherwise because he was like, you got to go. If you want to be a Christian, you can't go to a bar. You can't. I don't know. He just started coming up with all these laws, and I was like, well, if you're under the covenant of grace, you know, I'm not ensnared by going to the bar. I mean,
I don't know who this guy is. He's probably not fully biblical, but I would agree with him when he says a Christian. If you're a Christian
right.
and you've repented and placed your faith in Christ, you just said it. We don't willfully sin unless we're going to a bar, we used to be drunks, partiers, we know this. Unless you're going to bar to witness to somebody, which is a dangerous proposition,
right.
You're going it's there to, what are you going to the bar for? You're going to the bar to drink, to be lascivious, to maybe pick up somebody, or I don't know what whatever people do. So I would agree with him. If you're a Christian,
usually me and my wife would go to shoot pool and then.
Well, okay, so that you know you
so
could
see,
do
Ben
that too, but
now if they see me in there, that's the first. But thing
is that
doing in there?
But
I'm
is that
enjoying myself?
Hold
enjoying
on, though.
My marriage, which is my first ministry.
Yeah.
And
but is
so,
shooting pool glorifying to God and using the time well for Him? I would say no.
Yeah, if our
that's entertainment.
Are still mind is your mind is on God. The only time we sin is when our mind gets away from God.
No. Yeah, we do. We sin when our minds get away from God. Let's go back to grace.
So most here's, people, when they get caught up in these works, then they start.
No, no. Works is part of your salvation.
Our works
read
are
James.
Filthy.
It's the fruit of your salvation.
Someone could say then that our works are as filthy rags. I've been told that before.
No, no, no. So that's a lie.
Your works are filthy rags. I said, well, my works aren't my own.
No,
my works
hold
are,
on.
Christ took on. He did
you're,
all the works.
You
jump
around a whole bunch of subjects. So
finished.
So filthy rags.
I love the word. You can tell, man. Yeah. I'm in it.
Go to my website.
Hey, I got to spend time with my kids.
Go
I'll
to my website. I got tons of articles. I got an article on filthy rag. But here's the thing on grace. You got to make yourself eligible for grace. That means you repent and turn from your sin, come out of the world. The Bible teaches us how to look, act, dress, talk, how to live. And you're not going to get the grace of God by living the way you want. You must put yourself under the word of God. That's what my Bible teaches.
Right.
Faith goes with works.
Don't forget Ecclesiastes. He wants you to enjoy yourself.
Faith goes with works. Well, if you're born of God, you enjoy Him in holiness and preaching the word. And yes, spending time with your children, doing good and godly things, but not going to a bar, not being of the worldly culture.
If I go to a bar, like I said, I'm going to enjoy my marriage. I go there, they serve good burgers, there's pool.
Yeah. Yep. You can eat a burger at a bar.
If someone starts finger pointing.
Yeah, you can eat a burger at a bar, but what I'm saying is.
Just hear that part. If someone starts finger pointing.
I understand.
You see what I'm saying? If someone
but we got to watch out about our witness.
That's when you come out with grace.
We got to watch out about our witness. If people see me hanging around a bar and coming out all the time, and I'm drinking a beer in there doing whatever, people might go, hey, that preacher's drinking and hanging out. We got to be careful of our witness.
What if they don't? It's a, man, I see you guys come in here all the time. You guys never.
If I'm there preaching and witnessing, that'd be that. Wonderful. Because right. I'm glorifying God.
Everywhere I go, you see me right now, I'm preaching.
Yeah, but are you living it?
Yeah, what would you
have
say?
Have you come out of the culture? You don't look like you've come out of the culture.
It's hot. I mean,
you know the Bible teaches us how to dress? Have you studied that?
That's works.
Goes
brother.
Back before
that's
Torah.
Works,
oh, no.
That's works.
Well, it's works if
Torah,
you're faithful.
Torah's for the Jewish people. It's not for me.
The Bible teaches us to not love the things of the world or the love of the Father's not in us.
But he also told us his clothes were meant. Don't worry about the things. I will supply them.
Oh, yeah. But he supplies them, but we
and
put them on our body.
I'll give you houses and fields and things that you didn't even work for.
Right. But the Bible teaches women how to dress.
Don't get caught up in works.
Oh, no. Works is part of a saving faith.
That's what's wrong.
Works is obedience. The Bible says you can't enter in the kingdom of God without obedience.
I would argue, then why would he say it is finished?
His work is finished. Yours has just begun, and so is mine.
He did it for us.
He is finished. No, 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 no. No verse says he did it for you.
He said, take my yoke.
Not one. Yeah, take it. Walk. Pick up your cross. Strive. Enter in.
I'm going to do the majority lift, and you just come with me.
Luke 13, he says, strive to enter in. If he did it all, why do you have to strive, Thunder?
Why do I got to work, and then I'll start boasting?
You got to strive. You boast in Christ. You boast in what Christ does to you. Check out my website. Check out my website.
Check out those covenant contracts.
Repent, or you will not enter into the kingdom. We love you.
Those contracts, brother.
We love you, man. Thanks. We love you.